Romans chapter number one, if you will. Thank you for those songs. Amen. He deserves to be praised. Amen. Amen. Well, I feel like I've been pulled from pillar to post. I guess I'm complaining. I don't mean to be complaining, but I like to be ahead in knowing which direction I'm going. Last week I knew where I was going in Proverbs last week, so I was trying to determine how I was going to go for this week, try to get ahead on that point. And never could get settled in Proverbs, never could. And all through the week I've tried to. Yesterday I finally gave up and said, Lord, if you don't want me in Proverbs, show me where you want me. And even throughout the day, it's just been a wrestle and a strain. And I've looked at so many different things. It's not that there's something hard to find something to preach in the Bible. I mean, there's so many things to preach in the Bible. And matter of fact, if I've got outlines galore. Matter of fact, this tonight makes 675 sermons I've preached in this pulpit with an outline. I preached a couple without an outline. But just, you get to think about a lot of sermons that could be preached, but I wanted to know where God wanted us, what God wanted. And so I hope that we've got that, and that it'll be a blessing to you and be used of the Lord. Romans chapter number one. I'm going to read several verses like I did this morning and zero in on the last few. Verse number one is where we'll start. Paul, hang on, I'm not on. Let me get that. All right. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from heaven. I'm sorry. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I got to think about the wrath of God being revealed from heaven, but that's in verse 18, but in verse 17, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, ask God to bless the reading of his word. Brother Steve Vincent, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, to be back in your house. Yes.
Yes. Please, Lord, do so. Oh, yes, Lord, help us.
Lord,
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. And I do appreciate that prayer, Brother Steve. Thank you. Amen. I read all those verses and I want to look at some of them, but I want to focus really on verses 14 through 17, that last part. You know that this first part, as you go from verse number 1 all the way to verse number 17 with this introductory thought, and then verse 18, he completely changes gears, it looks like, although he's still talking about the gospel, the need of the gospel, and he goes into the depravity of man. He goes into talking about how that man is headed down, down, down. Man's not getting better, by the way, he's getting worse. Amen. He's not getting better, he's getting worse. He's like the woman that spent all she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. That's what's happening to people. Now, religion's flourishing. We've got all kinds of religion in our world, even in America. I would like to know how many churches there are in Madisonville, but I guarantee if it took you one day to count them, when you got done, they'd be another one. Because they're cropping up all the time. We just got a flyer on our door last Sunday about a new church starting up next week right here in Madisonville. And they're all over the place. And I'm not belittling, we need churches, but even with the proliferation of churches in our area, there's not a whole lot of real gospel power, gospel truth going out. Amen. And so he talks about man's not getting better, he's getting worse. But in the text that we're looking at here, and I'm starting with verse number 1, he's talking about being a servant. That's how he begins this chapter. This is, by the way, the book of Romans is the great doctrinal book of the epistles of Paul. Amen. Paul has a lot of doctrine in his epistles, but none so great and grand as this book of Romans. I'd love sometime to be able to study this verse by verse. I never have, as far as, I've never preached it verse by verse, never did a study on it verse by verse. I'd love to do that someday if God would let me do that. There's some major doctrines in here. There's some issues that people get, you know, disagreement on and things like that, but this is a major doctrinal book of the Bible, and yet Paul's not just elevated in just high and grand doctrine. He's talking about daily living. He's talking about being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at how he begins it. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Amen. Before anything else, before he's an apostle, he's a servant of Jesus Christ. Before he's a church planter, he's a servant of Jesus Christ. Before he's the preacher, he's the servant of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul recognizes himself as the servant. And so he, in this, up to the point that we ended there in verse number, when that last phrase that I'm going to deal with, verse 14 through 17, up until that point, he is talking repeatedly about being a servant. Matter of fact, Paul does that constantly as he starts his epistles. Not in every, but almost every epistle, Paul starts out with that phrase, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He may call himself a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls himself an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he'll say again and again that he is a servant of Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul was not ashamed to be a slave to the Lord Jesus. That's what the word servant in this context means. He's a slave. A bond slave. Amen. Christ owned him. Amen. Paul recognized that Christ owned all of us. What? Know you not? That's what he said. Amen. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And so Paul recognized that God owns us. Christ owns us. And Paul was not ashamed to be a servant. So I'm going to preach tonight on this thought. I've titled it Necessities for Servanthood. Necessities for Servanthood. And I guess, I was thinking about it as I was writing these notes down, I guess that some of this is in the vein of what I preached this morning, because we, as servants, we need to know, let me just say this, but we need to know how much God wants us to write the check for. We need to know where God wants us to serve, what God wants us to do. Amen. All those things we need to know as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul goes on to mention his prayer for these Roman believers. Look at verse number 9 as he mentions his prayer for them. And he says, for God is my witness. And he mentions his service right there. Whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son. And here he's bringing God to record that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So as again, is constant in Paul's letters. He addresses himself as the servant of Christ, and then he addresses himself as a supplicator for the saints. He's praying for those believers. Amen. And he's been, and by the way, that is a mark of service, is being a prayer warrior. Amen. Some people think serving God means preaching. It may. For some people it does. Amen. But I was a servant unto the Lord before I ever started preaching. Amen. Matter of fact, I think God calls preachers out of those servants. Amen. Matter of fact, I believe that men and women, women will never be called preachers, but men and women ought to be servants of the Most High God. Amen. And so that's, I want to deal with that this morning or this evening, and it just be just a brief thought of it. But Paul says here in verse number 9 that I serve my God. But here's how he said he serves him. He said, I serve whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel. Amen. Paul wasn't just given lip service. Paul said, my heart's in this. Amen. I serve him with my spirit. I believe what he's saying was, I serve him with my body, soul, and spirit. I serve him with everything in me. And that's what we want in this day. Amen. To serve God with all we have. I touched on it already. Sometimes we serve God in body. We're sitting there. Our body's there, but is our spirit there? Well, Paul said, I serve him with my spirit. Not just spirit, but with my body and my spirit. He served him with everything, body, soul, and spirit. That's exactly what God wants from us. He wants all out service. Amen. Amen. So, if you will allow me to take these final four verses of the text we read, verse 14, 15, 16, and 17, and I've got a point for each of these and some brief subpoints under them, and I'll not be long tonight. Just a brief thought that I'm preaching about the necessities of servanthood. I'll have 1 point per verse, all right? If we're going to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some things that Paul demonstrated that I believe are required for us if we're going to be a servant unto the Lord. Now, we may not have to go to the extreme Paul did. We may not have to do identically as what Paul did, but I believe there's some principles laid down, and those are what I want to look at. Look at verse number 14. First of all, my first one is we must recognize the debt. Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Amen. We were talking yesterday as we were working, and some as in between jobs, you know how that is sometimes. And we were talking about debt. And Brother Jacob was aggravating Radio Rick about being the Rick Ramsey show, amen, and talking about getting out of debt, things like that. And we joking about that debt-free scream. I thought about that. If I were to ask how many of you are in debt, every one of us have to raise their hand. Spiritually, we're in debt. We owe a great debt unto our Savior for saving us by His grace. Amen. We're not debt-free when it comes to this thing about serving the Lord. And I believe we've got to recognize that. A lot of people, you know, they got saved by the grace of God. They think, well, that is all there is. I'm in now. I'm heaven-bound. I'll just coast to glory. That's not what God saved us for. No, it's not what God saved us for. Matter of fact, those disciples, Jesus called them. He called them unto himself. And there's a lot of different stories, but I'll use this one account. He used them when he fed the multitudes. We talk all about that. Whoa, what a blessing. When Jesus fed the 5,000, by the way, that's just 5,000 men, not counting women and children. There's probably over 15,000 people there, and 12 men handed every one of them a biscuit and a piece of fish. And maybe many more. 12 men Jesus gave to his disciples. Those 12 men handed it out to 15,000 plus people. And when they got done, Jesus said, now pick up the scraps. And when they got done getting up the scraps, Jesus sent the multitude away, but he told those disciples, you get on a ship and go to the other side. And he sent them to a storm while he went yonder to pray on the mountain. Amen. This thing about serving God ain't just coasting to glory. Amen. There's a lot of people to be served. There's a lot of bread to be handed out. There's a lot of hungry souls to be fed. There's a lot of needs to be done. And then there's a lot of cleaning up after people. Amen. A lot of people get the idea, you know, serving God's just all victory. It's just all mountaintop and it's just all victory. It's all, he's a whole lot of cleaning up after people in the ministry. Amen. And then there's a lot of storms. Jesus put them on the ship and sent them right into the storm, but they had a debt. Now, here I'm thinking about this. In verse number 14, he says, I am debtor, not just to one, but both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Now, here's what he's saying there. He said, I owe a debt. He's not just talking about a debt to God. By the way, we're all indebted to God. But we owe a debt to our fellow man as well. And that's what he's talking about in that. Paul had a burden for the Jews, but he said, I don't just owe a burden to the Jews. I don't just owe a debt to the Jews. I owe a debt to everybody, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Amen. Brother, I said this to some of the men yesterday when we were getting ready to pray. Brother Buffington, I don't know if you heard his broadcast on Friday. Brother Buffington was talking about a text, a deal where Paul turned from the Jews and he said, we turn to the Gentiles. And he talked about how Paul's burden was for the Jews, but when the Jews rejected the gospel, Paul turned away from the Jews and went to the Gentiles. And this is what he said. He said, Paul never stopped loving them. Paul never stopped wanting to see them saved, but Paul quit fooling with them. He left them in the hand of God. And Brother Buffington told about a man that he was dealing with that was arguing with him and sending him letters. And he said, I was writing him back stuff, trying to tell him stuff. And he said, I finally realized this man, all he's going to do is argue. And he said, I finally wrote him a letter, said, I'm turning to the Gentiles. And he said, I never wrote him another word. Amen. Just leave him to God. Well, Paul said, I don't just owe a debt to the Jews. I owe a debt to the Gentiles as well. But I don't just owe a debt to the Greeks, those sophisticated Gentiles. I owe a debt to the barbarians, the unsophisticated. Amen. The fellas with the tattoos, with the pierced noses. Amen. I owe a debt to them. To the crowd, looks like they're going to whoop you. Looks like they're going to beat you up. Amen. I owe a debt to them. I owe a debt to them. We got to recognize the debt. Amen. I say we owe a great debt to our God. If all He'd ever done was saved us, we'd owe a debt. But He didn't just save us. You think of all the blessings that God has blessed us with. All the things He's entrusted us with. Amen. I'm going to tell you, He's entrusted with these things, not only to owe Him a debt, but to owe a debt to the world. Here, I've got about three things here. We've been entrusted with His Word. Amen. God has given us His Word. The average person in the world knows nothing about the Word of God. They probably know the TV guide better than know the Bible. Amen. They probably know the roster of their ball team or the, you know, whatever for NASCAR. They know those stats and those figures and all that kind of stuff a lot better than they know the Word of God. We hold the promises of the Almighty God in our hands. Hallelujah. Amen. And we owe a debt to tell the world something about it. Amen. Amen. God has blessed us so much. What a treasure we hold that the world knows nothing about. Paul talked about if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their minds. And he's talking about, and lest the light of the glorious gospel shine unto them. He's saying that the devil is withholding the truth from them. Don't us get on the devil's side and withhold the truth from them. Let's tell them the truth. That's what he's talking about. We owe a debt. We've been entrusted with his word. Number two, we've been entrusted with his worship. The world worships they know not what. Amen. We know what we worship, for salvation belongs to us. Amen. I know the scripture said salvation belongs to the Jews, salvation of the Jews. Our Lord talked about that in that dispensation, but thank God salvation's come to us now. What an opportunity we have to worship the true and living God. Amen. Amen. By the way, when the world's not ashamed of their music, we shouldn't be ashamed of ours. Amen. When they go to bragging about the top hit or number one song, it sounds like, you ever heard these cars when these people get married and they tie them tin cans to the back of the car and they drive off, blah, 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 blah. That's what some of that sounds like to me, going down the road. Sounds like got four flat tires with all them cans on the back of it. But they think, well, this is wonderful. I tell you, we can say, if you want to hear good music, you ought to come to the house of God. Amen. Amen. We know something they don't know. We know something. By the way, our music is not just entertainment. It's not for us to say, oh, isn't that good? No, it's for us to say, isn't our God great? That's talking about our Lord and our Savior. He's the one they're talking about, amen. Just like what they sang about, I've never been disappointed in Him, amen. We can stand up and say, that's exactly right, amen. We've been entrusted with the worship of God. And number three, I'm talking about this thing about being, recognize the debt. We've been entrusted as a witness for God. We've been entrusted as a witness. We can tell the lost and dying world about a Savior that can save anybody. You say, how do you know He can save anybody? Because if He could save you and me, He can save anybody. Amen. Well, I don't know, they've gone so far. Yeah, so had some of us. Such were some of you. Amen. Amen. But we've been changed by the good grace of God. We know by experience what God can do. Amen. Amen. We owe a debt of gratitude. We owe to the Lord. Amen. We not only should we recognize the debt, number two, we ought to be ready to do. Look at verse number 15. Ready to do. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Amen. Be ready to do. God has done so much for us. The least we can do is do something for Him. Amen. We ought to do something for our Lord. Now, these may entail different things for different people. May entail a lot of things about serving. But I got just a couple of suggestions. Number one, just two things here. Number one, pick up the book. Amen. If you want to know what to do for God, read your Bible. Amen. Read your Bible. God, let's see if I can say this right. God does not inform us how to serve God by giving us a human example. He does it in the Bible. But in other words, you don't have to pattern your life after me or pattern your life after one of these missionaries that comes through here. You better get your marching orders from this book. Amen. You don't go by what, you know, somebody says, well, you know what, I really believe that God wants you to be a bass singer. I don't mean you're supposed to be a bass singer. I really believe God wants you to be a missionary. I really believe God wants, listen, you don't go by what other people say. You listen to that word, that book. Pick up the book. Amen. Get your Bible, get in the Bible, and read the Bible. Let the Bible speak to you. He'll do it. He has called missionaries out of the Bible. Amen. He's called preachers out of the Bible. Amen. He stirred people to sing praises unto Him out of the Bible. Amen. Pick up the book. Everybody needs to get in their Bible. Amen. Our Bible is not only our roadmap to heaven. Our Bible is our daily checklist for chores around the house. Amen. Amen. Daily checklist. Lord, what do you want me to do today? Get in the book. Amen. I remember Brother Earl Hughes said he woke up one morning, he's laying in the bed. He said, oh, Lord, here I am. He said, I have not sinned at all today. I'm as pure as a driven snow. My mind's ready to serve you. I'm ready to do what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, first thing I want to do is get out of bed. That's the point of that is this. Some people, they got a big dream about serving God, but they've not done the first thing. Get your Bible. I believe, matter of fact, I really believe getting in your Bible ought to be one of the first things you do every day. Before you read the morning paper, you ought to read the Bible. Amen. Before you go to reading a lot of other things, you ought to read. You don't have to read chapter after chapter. You don't have to get it, but get something out of the Bible that'll feed your soul and help you get the day going. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm just saying read the Bible. Read it to learn. Read it to be instructed. Read it to be encouraged. Amen. Amen. And when the enemy attacks, we can fall back on the Word of God. Amen. If you're going to be a servant of God, there's going to be enemies. Amen. If you're going to be a servant of God, when the enemy attacks, you're going to have something to fall back on. Well, why are you preaching? Why are you doing? Why are you giving? Why are you tithing? Oh, all kind. Why are you abstaining from alcoholic beverages? Why are you dressing that way? Why are you, whatever. You got to have a book to fall back on. Amen. I'm glad we can. Amen. We can fall back on the Bible. We can find encouragement from the heroes of the faith in our King James Bible. Amen. We can see the battles they fought, the victories they won, the deliverance God gave. Amen. Amen. We'll find that the God of the Bible is the God today. Still God. Amen. So pick up your book. Number two, it might mean packing your bags. Because God might have somewhere for you to go. Amen. God doesn't call everybody to a foreign field. God doesn't call everybody to some great distance. Amen. Amen. Personally, I'd have been happy serving God right there, what I'll say, in my backyard there in North Carolina. We pastored there where I pastored was just a little over 20 miles one way from where we lived. We drove that for 26 years as pastor. And that wasn't far. Then God said, all right, 20 miles. It took us about 45 minutes, by the way, to drive that 20 miles going through the country road. You thought you was in boot camp. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. And after a while, God said, all right, that 45 minutes of driving, I want you to drive about 10 hours and go to Madisonville, Kentucky. Amen. I'd have been happy serving God right there in my backyard, but God called me to a distance. But he don't call everybody to a distance. Amen. He did me. He did my wife. Amen. Amen. You say, when did he call your wife? When he called me. He knew we was one. But if I'm going, she's got to go. Amen. Amen. I heard this story. Said this fellow went to join the military. They was in a war. Went to join the military. He goes to sign up. He's got his wife with him. His officer said, all right, we're ready to go. Said, what's she doing? He said, she's going with me. Fellow sergeant said, she can't go with you. You got to go by yourself. He said, oh, no. He said, she's got to go with me. He said, what do you mean she's got to go with you? He said, you want me to kill somebody, don't you? And he said, yeah. He said, well, that's the only person in the world who can make me mad enough to kill somebody. So God sent my wife up here to tear y'all up. Amen. Make me feel... No, I'm just kidding. Amen. But it may mean, now we get back to my point, it may mean packing your bags. It may mean going somewhere doing something. May mean getting out of your comfort zone. Are you following? Amen. By the way, every one of us went to grow. You have to get out of your comfort zone. Amen. To grow, you have to get out of your comfort zone some way, somehow. Amen. God does this through his word. He calls us through his word. I'll just simply say, are we willing to listen to the voice of God? Are we willing to listen to the call of God? Amen. Amen. Paul was ready. He said, I'm ready. Look at what he said, verse number 15. So as much as in me is, I mean, it just looks to me like Paul's chomping it to bits. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Amen. Paul was ready and raring to go. Amen. He didn't hesitate. Number three. Not only we got to recognize the debt, we got to be ready to go, but number three, we ought to be racing to deliver. Paul was, verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. Paul wanted to be busy serving his God. Amen. Paul wanted to be busy serving his God. Shouldn't we be busy serving our God? Amen. Shouldn't we be busy? Now, maybe our service is not in Rome. Maybe our service is right here at home. Raising a family for God is serving the Lord. Amen. Working on a job, even if it's not a religious ministry type job. Working on a job, providing for your family, keeping them in the house of God. Amen. That's serving the Lord. Amen. Keeping them off of the welfare rolls, keeping them out of the jails. Amen. That's serving the Lord. We ought to be ready. We ought to be raring to go. Amen. Working in the church. I mean, there's so many things we could talk about. Teaching a Sunday school class. Telling sinners that we meet day by day about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All those things are jobs we can do for God, and we ought to be ready to do it. God don't call everybody to preach. He does call some. Amen. But everybody ought to be doing something for the glory of God. Isn't that right? Amen. Now, if we're going to do that, here I've got a couple other things we need with that. God When God points you in the direction of service, number one, deliver your heart. Racing to deliver. Paul's ready to deliver the gospel. We ought to be, when you do it, deliver your heart. In other words, don't be half-hearted. Amen. I talked about that already. Paul said that he served God with his spirit. Serve God with your whole heart. Amen. Don't be half-hearted. You don't have to be like anybody else. You shouldn't compare yourself. We shouldn't compare ourselves among ourselves. That's not wise, our Lord said. Amen. You don't have to be like me. You don't, hopefully you won't be. You don't have to be like anybody else. God wants to use your uniqueness, but he wants to use all of you. Amen. He wants you to be you. Amen. Give your best. Give your all to God. Amen. I talked about a class. Maybe it's just a small class of children. They deserve your best. And God deserves your best. Amen. Amen. Even if it's just to witness to somebody on the street. Amen. As a gentleman came in here this morning after most everybody had left, he's pulling a suitcase, came in with a cup, was getting some water. He'd been over here to the apartments trying to apply for an apartment, said he was homeless. And he's been by here before, matter of fact, a few years ago. Brother Duncan took him to Owensboro. He's needing a ride to Owensboro when he was here before. And Brother Duncan remembered him, matter of fact. He was still here when we went over there and talked to him. And Brother Duncan remembered him. I didn't. I knew he looked familiar, and he said he remembered I looked familiar. But anyway, I'm not going to go into a lot of details about it, but Brother Duncan talked to him, asked him questions, and asked him if he knew the Lord. Asked him, did he have a church? Did he attend church? And he encouraged him to get in church, and that in order to turn your life around, getting in church is a good step towards that.
Amen.
Amen. And Brother Duncan used that opportunity to witness him. I appreciate that. He's better at it than I am. Amen. I appreciate that. I'm glad God can use people to talk to somebody. And when you do, deliver your heart. Give it your all. Amen. Deliver your heart. Number two, deliver their help. Remember, what you've got to offer them is something that'll help them. Amen. You're offering service. When you're offering them service, really it's service unto the Lord, and it's coming from God. Let me say it this way. What you have to offer them is not from within you, but it comes from God. I mean, listen, you've heard preachers say this, and it's right. I know there's something about studying. There's something about preparing. There's something about preparing ourselves, preparing the message, getting all that ready. But I'm telling you, preaching is not something man-made. Preaching is something God does through the man that makes himself available. And being a witness for God is not just you memorizing a few steps and you learning some facts. It's letting God use your vessel to shine light in a dark world. Amen. Amen. Deliver their help. What you've got to offer them is from the hand of God. Amen. You may feel inadequate. You may stumble, mumble, stutter, stammer, and all that. But remember, what you've got to say, if you're telling them about what the Bible says, it's not your words, it's God's words. The work you're doing is not your work, it's God's work. Amen. Remember that your witness contains the power of God unto salvation. That's what Paul said about that in verse number 16. One of the reasons Paul was ready to deliver, one of the reasons Paul was raring to go, was because Paul knew what he had to say was from God. Amen. And was the power of God unto salvation. Now, I mentioned about that young man, and there's a world full of others. And I'll say this, not just about him. But I'll say this about so many in our world today. There are so many people that are caught up in so many things. Perhaps it's the drug culture. In the drug culture, most of them, their mind is so entrapped and enraptured by the drugs that it is going to take a miracle of God for any good seed to fall on good soil. But I'm glad God's a miracle working God. There's people so caught up in pornography that their mind is so enamored in that pornography. It's going to take a miracle of God for any light to shine through into their darkness. But I'm glad we're serving a miracle working God. You can name whatever you want to name. People that are so sports crazy. People that are so works manifest. Amen. So religion manifest. They're eat up with all that. It's going to take a miracle of God. Amen. Amen. We've got folks in here got saved out of Catholicism. That's a miracle of God. We've got folks in here got saved out of Baptistism. Amen. That's a miracle of God. Amen. Say that 10 times fast. Baptistism. Amen. I don't know how to spell it, but I know how to pronounce it. Amen. But seriously, we got folks who have been saved out of all kinds of different things, and it does take a miracle of God, but God's still working miracles. Amen. I'll tell you how he does it. By somebody being willing to go with the good news. We're talking about missionaries. Listen, we'd be a hypocrite if we send money to send somebody over the seas and we're not willing to tell the person next to us about Jesus. Amen. I'm not saying you got to wear a placard everywhere you go. No, I'm not saying you got to hand a tract to everybody you meet. But I'm telling you, every now and then, we ought to get a burden for somebody and we ought to tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. Amen. I didn't mean to get there, but that's where we're at. That's the book. Amen. Amen. That didn't come from me. That come from God. Amen. That's right. Amen. What we have to offer them is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, I don't believe for 1 minute that Paul said, all right, before I talk to any Gentiles, I'm going to have to go to all the Jews in Rome. I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe Paul was just to the Jew first. I believe Paul was to whoever he could get to first with the gospel. But the gospel came to the Jew first. Jews had the opportunity. And amen. And we ought to make a priority. We ought to have a priority in trying to reach Jews with the gospel. Amen. But I don't think that means we've got to have missionaries, more missionaries to the Jews than we do to Gentiles. Oh no, I don't believe that means we ought to get lopsided. What we're dealing with is sinners. Whether they're Jews or Gentiles, they're sinners and they need the gospel. Amen. Let me give you the last point. And this leads me to my last point. This thing about the power of God. Our witness contains the power of God. Not only do we need to recognize the debt, we need to be ready to do, and racing to deliver. But number four, verse 17, we ought to be really depending. Really depending on God. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. When we go to tell somebody the gospel, if I can say it this way, when we share our faith, you've heard that phrase before. When we share our faith, God takes faith from us and helps their faith. Amen. God works faith to faith to bring them to a place of faith and repentance. To bring them to a place where they can recognize their need of a Savior. Listen, not just the need. A lot of people know the need. They wonder if God could save them, if God would save them. We can tell them, I know God will save you because he saved me by the grace of God. Amen. Like the song said, this I know, yes I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. Why? Because he saved the worst among you when he saved a wretch like me. Amen. Amen. So we might say we're working for God, but in reality, what we need is God working in us. We've got to really be dependent on God. Amen. Really dependent on God. I got 3 subpoints here, just real quick. I don't have a lot to say about them. In reality, if anything gets done for eternity, it's going to take God to do it. Here's my 3 points. We're not dependent on methods. Amen. Amen. This plan, we're not dependent on methods. Worldly plans. Worldly methods. You can read all the books you want about how to build a great church. How to build a great Sunday school. How to build a great sermon. You get all these books and read all that you want to read. I'm going to tell you, it's going to take God to do the work if anything gets done. We're not depending on methods. Number 2, we're not depending on man. We're not depending on, I'll say, man-made power. We need God power. Amen. We need God power. And number 3, not on methods, not on man, but needing a manifestation. This brings me all the way back around to what Brother Steve and I were talking about. Brother Steve mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. What America needs is not more preachers, although I'm sure they need more preachers. We've got preaching. We need the power of God manifest. We do have preachers. We do have material. We can learn. We got more opportunity to learn things today than anybody in the world has ever had. Amen. They don't just need polished sermons. They need a manifestation of the power of God. Paul said, when I came to you, I didn't come to you in the wisdom of men's words. Amen. I came to you in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God. Them old preachers that I remember as a boy growing up, they didn't do like we do today. Most of them took their coat off, laid their coat over on the side, rolled their sleeves up. Some of them took their tie off. Some of them had their shirt tail hanging out. They got up and they didn't have 3 points in a poem. They didn't have alliteration. Amen. They didn't quote Augustine and St. Francis of Assisi or any other Assisi. Amen. They didn't have all this polish and all this print, but I'll tell you one thing they did have. They had the power of God. Amen. They had a burden for sinners. Amen. Their heart was broken over sinners. They want to see them saved by the grace of God. And they believe there's a God in heaven that can save the worst among us. Amen. They believe that. They preached it as if they might get saved that service. God, get us back to that again. Amen. God, get us back to that again. One thing I appreciate about missionaries, I've met many, many missionaries. Some of them go, and I mean really, really shine for Jesus. Some of them sort of burn out and fizzle pretty quick. Some of them never even make it to the field. But I've met young and old. One thing that I appreciate about missionaries, they got a dream. They got a dream. Most of them dream big. Amen. They got the idea, let me give an illustration. They got the idea they're going to go, let's say they're going to go to Colombia, South America. We got a missionary coming this week. Single man coming. Going to Colombia, South America. They got an idea they're going to Colombia and they expect every sinner in Colombia to get saved when they get down there and preach to them. They expect that. They expect they're going to build a church, and they're not just going to build one. They're going to have church plants come off of that. Amen. They expect they're going to have Bible college. They expect they're going to have printing ministries. They expect they're going to have children's homes. They expect they're going to have all radio ministries. I mean, they just got all these big dreams and goals. Oh, God, help us to believe God again to do great and mighty things. Amen. Amen. We come to the day and age, we think, well, all the miracles are done. We done used up all the miracles. I mean, even the genie just had 3 wishes you could wish. We've done used them all up. No, listen, our God's not like that. Our God's not used up. Our God's not done. Amen. But we need a manifestation of the power of God. Let's stand to our feet as they come with a song. Here's what I'd say to you. I don't know how God might deal with you, but this is how he dealt with me. I want to ask God to help me listen to hear what he says to me. And then me be available. I want to be ready. I want to be willing to do, to go, to give, to tell, to stay and serve. I want to be willing to do whatever God says do. But in that willingness, I want to do it with all my heart. But even as I do it with all my heart, I want God to manifest his presence and help me in my inadequacy. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need you. There's ever, ever, ever a day we need you. Right now, in 2021, we need you. Lord, we can't depend on our books. We can't depend on our education. We can't depend on our skill that we've developed as we've done these things through the years. Lord, we need your power manifest in our witness. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, move among your people. Oh, Lord, do something. Let this world see the great power of God, that it is unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Lord, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. As we sing, if the Lord spoke to you, I want to give you opportunity to come and obey him.